Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
Ready to relax in your dream bath retreat without the stress of figuring out every detail yourself? At the Home Depot, your bath upgrade is covered. Shop fully designed rooms and curated bath collections to go from inspiration to transformation fast. Savings of up to 40% will make it easier on your budget. And find everything you need, from tubs to toilets and all the tile in between, to bring your vision to life. The Home Depot. Dream baths built here.
You're listening to The Western Rookie, a hunting podcast full of tips, tricks, and strategies from seasoned Western hunters. There are plenty of opportunities out there. We just need to learn how to take on the challenges.
Hunting is completely different up there.
I harvested 26 big game animals.
You can fool their eyes, but you can't fool their nose.
300 yards back to the road turned into 3 miles back the other way.
It's always cool seeing new hunters go and harvest an animal.
I don't know what to expect.
If there's anybody I want in the woods with me, it'll be you.
Welcome back to another bonus episode of the Western Rookie Podcast brought to you by Go Hunt. Today, we have a big application deadline coming up that we're going to cover. This is going to be one of the primary Western hunting applications that most of you will be filling out this season, so I'm really excited to dive into that. But a couple of things I want to cover before we do. Number one, I want to talk about the Hunt Planner tool in the Go Hunt Gear Shop. Sorry, the Go Hunt Insider Service. They also have the Gear Shop, which is pretty cool too. But today I want to talk about Hunt Planner. So this is a relatively new tool, and it's one that I've really started to leverage as I'm planning out my application seasons. This year, I'm using Hunt Planner to do a bunch of research on our antelope hunt that my wife and I are going to be doing in Wyoming. I'm looking at all these different units, and what I like about Hunt Planner is it lets me save my ideas. So when I'm looking at units and I'm using filtering 2.0 to see what units we could realistically draw, what some of the potentials are, if I like a unit just at a high level, I can save it to my hunt. I can create the 2024 Wyoming antelope hunt. I can save all of these units that I'm interested in, and I can then go to my hunt planner tomorrow, the next week, whenever we decide to revisit this plan, and I can see all these options that I've got. And then I can start to rank them. I can move them up or down, and I can come up with a list of different options by comparing draw odds, public land percentages, trophy potential, success rates, all kinds of different information. lately I've been adding a lot of notes on which units have antlerless tags available. So whether that's antlerless elk, antlerless deer, antlerless antelope, because I think that would be a really cool addition to our antelope hunt is by adding a couple more tags. And so I can put notes in there, you know, this unit has no antlerless antelope tags, but there's 100% antlerless elk tag chance. Or maybe there's antlerless whitetail does available. I love all of those features. I can also look at the public land and make notes. You know, this unit is completely checkerboard public, which tells me there's going to be a lot of challenges with access. We're going to have problems with finding public land that have antelope on them. We might have problems accessing the public land. I can also make the opposite comment. This unit is not checkerboard. There's like medium to large size chunks of public available, which means we might have a little bit more success. So I've been really using the hunt planner tool to plan out all of my hunts. I think it's a good idea to do for future years too. If you're starting to draft like a 3 to 5 year rotation or a strategy that we talk about all the time on the podcast, you can start to throw ideas into a 2026, 2027 elk hunt. You know, when you're starting to get up there in points, you could start throwing units in that hunt plan that you're interested in now, and then when you come back to it, you don't have to start from scratch. Maybe, for example, you're going to do a hunt with a partner or your spouse like I'm doing, and you might have some time to look at a couple things right now, and then you're going to meet with your hunting partners later in the week, maybe over dinner, maybe you're going to guys are going to come over for a couple drinks and look at this. You can pull up your hunt plan and see all of the information you've already researched, so you're not starting from scratch each conversation. So go over and check out the Hunt Planner tool, check out the rest of the Go Hunt Insider services that you get with your membership, and it when you get signed up, use the code WESTERN, and you're going to get $50 of free gear shop credit, which is super cool that you can just go in there, whether you take $50 off of a Mystery Ranch Metcalf pack or you just load up on some accessories for $50. It's your money, $50 to spend however you like. So with that, let's dive in. Before we get to the big application that we're going to be covering, I do want to mention the Washington multi-season application deadline is coming up March 31st. We're not going to dive into Washington's multi-season as much because it's a very specific application, probably mostly useful for residents who already know about it. The multi-weapon seasons or the multi-season tags are your chance to hunt multiple different weapon seasons. So like you can hunt archery season if you don't fill your tag, you can come back for rifle season if you don't fill your tag, you can come back for muzzleloader season. Just gives you more of a hunting season to fill your tag, higher chances that you're going to go home with your elk or your deer. So I just want to let everyone know if that applies to you, go check out what you need to go use Go Hunt to search where you want to apply, but make sure you get that in before March 31st. Now, we're moving on to the big one. You might be asking, all right, what's the biggest, what's one of the bigger applications that's coming up? Well, this one is Montana deer and elk. I would say Montana's going to be like top three for non-resident applications each year. Montana's definitely up there. If it's not, Wyoming is up there. Colorado is up there. Those are your three core elk states for non-resident applications. And today, we are covering Montana. Wyoming, you've already heard this one come out. That was January for the elk. Deer is coming later this spring. And then Colorado deer and elk will be in the next couple episodes. We'll cover those as well. So Montana deer and elk. The deadline is April 1st, 11:45 p.m. Mountain Time. Do not wait till the last minute, please. Get it in before April. Get it in March. The draw system in Montana is pretty complicated, and they use both a preference system and a bonus system. We will dive into both what each point is, how you can get your tag in Montana, but we just want to cover some of this top basic information. You can apply as a party of five, and the party applications will round your average point total to the nearest whole number. So this is something you really want to pay attention to if you're going to be applying as a group. If your group average comes out to 2.3 points on average per person, they're going to round your total to 2 and throw you into the application under the 2-point bracket. If your group average comes out to 2.66, for example, they're going to round your group total to 3 and throw you into the 3-point bracket, which is a huge difference. So make sure you know in your party, who has who's in your party, how many points everyone has. Just understand what your average is going to be so you, when you use the draw odds tool or the filtering tool, you know where you can apply. All right, so getting into the breakdown. Right off the bat, tag costs. It's the touchiest subject in the West to me. Montana is definitely on the higher end for tag cost. The elk tag, which is called the elk combo tag, which is their general elk tag, $1,048. Very high. If you want to get the big game combo, which is your general elk and your general deer, $1,242. Now, the reason why I personally think this is a touchy subject is the resident elk tag is $20. So residents are paying $20 to hunt elk. Non-residents, they charge $1,048 to hunt elk, over a 50x multiplier. So when you do the math, when you look up how many residents versus non-residents hunt elk in Montana, there are 4.5 times more residents hunting elk than non-residents. And that might make sense. There's more people that live there that hunt than travel to Montana to hunt. But even though there's 4.5 times more resident hunters in Montana, the non-resident tag revenue is 10 times larger. I mean, they are absolutely gouging us non-residents to hunt elk when their residents are barely paying anything. So I think that's a touchy subject. I know a lot of people will comment and say, if it matters that much to you, just move to Montana. And that's a fair point. The great American conservation model does dictate that states can manage their own wildlife. But where I would like to see an improvement is Montana likes to manage their wildlife and really charge non-residents to come hunt. But whenever a topic comes up about firearm legislation, rights to hunt, anti-hunting and anti-animal advocacy groups come and they start doing efforts to remove hunting opportunity, or when they start to push public land transfers, then Montana loves to come and say, hey, we all you non-residents, we need your help. And I think this is a recipe for disaster, because if they're starting to alienate us non-residents from hunting in Montana by charging us so much more than residents, there's not really that incentive for us to come and help support their battles when it comes to all of these issues that come up, public land transfer, gun control, hunting seasons, animal advocacy groups, like all these things that come and try to take hunting away from us as Americans. They need the help of everyone in the country. And so I feel like it would be, I feel like there's an opportunity. If you're going to charge $1,000 for a non-resident to hunt elk in your state, like, can we find a way to charge more than $20 for the resident? Or can we just lower the non-resident tag costs a little bit and make it more affordable and not gouge people, make it a rich pay-to-play game? So that's my two cents. Everyone's going to have an opinion about it. I'm sure we're going to get lots of comments on that. But it is crazy high. So the big game combo, just real quickly, that's when you can buy both your deer and your elk tag if you're going to do a two-for-one hunt. It's a better deal than buying them separate, but it's still a lot of money. When we move into the current drought conditions, Montana's experiencing a relatively mild winter. They have a relatively mild drought status, kind of plus or minus that 100% of normal. So pretty good conditions overall when it comes to moisture. I would expect to see some good growth this year, hopefully, but you know, there's a long season until fall yet, and we'll have to see what kind of rains we get in the West. So now let's dive into the draw system. I said it was complicated. It really is. So Montana has both bonus points and preference points. And here's what each means. We'll start with the preference points. So preference points for deer and elk, they're $100 a piece for non-residents. Your preference points are what gets you your general tag. So that would be the elk combo, the deer combo, or the big game combo. That is your general tag to hunt elk or deer in the state of Montana, and it opens up all of the general units to you. And that's what your preference points are used for. There's a maximum of 3 preference points. They draw for them, and you if you don't get your general tag, you'll keep your points. If you do, you lose your general points. Pretty simple so far. What's complicated is that 75% of the general tags are reserved for people with preference points. 25% of the tags are reserved for people with no preference points. So That means you can draw with 0 points. And so that might not seem that confusing yet. You're saying, Brian, why does this get complicated? Well, Montana also allows you to buy a preference point when you apply. So if you're at 0 points right now, you could either go into the draw with 0 points and you could draw a tag, or you could buy a point and enter the draw. Now, here's where it gets interesting. The odds for drawing either a deer or an elk tag in Montana with 0 points are higher than they are with 1 point. And that does not make any sense to me, but that's the way it is because they reserve 25% of the tags for 0 point holders, and they allow you to buy 1 point when you apply. So most people buy a point. And so if you're at 0 points and you want to hunt Montana right now, you can roll the dice and you can try to apply with no points. And if you draw, great. You didn't waste any money and you got your tag. If you don't draw because it's not 100%, now you're in the same position next year. And so you got to ask yourself, do I want to be in the same position next year or do I want to try to get to 2 points? Because 2 points is where it turns to 100%. And so that gets really confusing. The best way to avoid this is if you know you're going to hunt in Montana 2 years from now, buy a point this year and then buy a point next year when you apply, but you're spending $200. Otherwise, you're not guaranteed to hunt in Montana. And so that's just a very interesting little tidbit. If you listen to this podcast, you'll obviously have more information than most. But as more and more people learn about the 0 point loophole, more and people will start doing it and it could shift odds again. So it's really strange what's going on in Montana. And that's just the preference points. Now we talk about the bonus points. Your bonus points go towards drawing a limited entry permit. Now what happens is when you want to hunt a limited entry unit, you have to first apply and you have to draw a combo license, your general tag. So if I want to hunt limited entry elk in the breaks, I first have to draw the elk combo or the big game combo to get my general elk tag. Then I have to put in my application for a limited entry permit. This all happens at the same time, by the way. This is one application. Both of them are due on April 1st. So once I draw that, then I move on to the limited entry. If I draw the limited entry, I don't get a second carcass tag. I don't get to shoot two elk. I just get the opportunity to use my general tag in the limited entry unit. And that's what my bonus points go towards. Bonus points are squared. So the more you have, the exponentially more entries you have in the drawing. Preference points are not squared. It's just straight preference. With the most points gets the tag. Eventually they run out. So that all gets very confusing. On top of that, since you have to draw your general tag in order to get your limited entry unit, a lot of people will apply for a general, their combo license, and their limited entry unit. They might not draw their limited entry unit, and they might choose to say, if I do not draw my limited entry unit, I want to return my general tag and keep my points. They're basically saying, I don't want to elk hunt or deer hunt in Montana unless I get my limited entry unit. So this means that once the first drawing happens, some people return their general license because they didn't draw their trophy unit, and now, or their limited entry unit, and now they return their general license. And so there's almost a second version of a drawing for some folks that did not originally get their general unit and they just wanted to apply for a general unit. They didn't apply to a limited entry unit. So the odds are very tough to calculate on the general licenses because there's that return of licenses for folks that didn't get their LE unit. So it's a very complicated system. It's worth understanding, though, because Montana really is a great state for hunting deer and elk. There's tons of access. There's tons of opportunity, long seasons, lots of good bulls. And so it's a great place to hunt, and the application just takes some getting used to. You might see, our group has seen in the past years, where we originally did not draw, and then a couple days later we did draw. And that's because they did that tag return process, and then they went back for a second, almost like a second drawing to allocate all those return general tags. So it's a very strange kind of draw process, but there's a lot of opportunity. So that's the good thing. Another good thing for Montana, the average bull size is actually quite good. And what I mean by that is, like, statewide, your average mature bulls are going to be in that 280 to 310, 320 range, which is a giant bull. I've shot a 280-inch bull. It's massive. That is a big bull. 320, really massive. And a lot of the bulls hit maturity at that size. So they have good genetics. When you look at all of the bulls harvested since 2010, 40% of them have been 6 points or greater, which is generally that mature, entering maturity stage. And so while Montana manages their elk largely for opportunity, which means more elk access, more tags, more availability to hunt, they still have a very, very solid trophy potential in Montana. Now, when you start talking about upper class trophy potential, because that's just generally statewide across a lot of general units, there's the upper class units, these limited entry units, have some really good potential. There's 340 potential all over, especially in like region 7. There's the 350 to 370 inch potential in the central Montana, like right around the Missouri River breaks. These tags are a little bit harder to draw, but there are some giant bulls in Montana. And everyone always hears about a few 400s here and there that are getting harvested in Montana. There was recently that world record archery elk entry from southeast Montana. There's a lot of big elk in Montana, so it's a great quality state for elk as well. I've personally witnessed a lot of bulls over 300 inches hunting around Montana, so it's a great state. They break the state up into 7 regions, so the 100s, 200s, all the way through 700s. That's how they classify their different regions. Region 3 dominates the elk harvest. All the regions harvest some elk, but Region 3 has twice as many bulls harvested than any other region. So a lot of the elk are in Region 3, which is the Rocky Mountain Range. The populations across the state, they're very stable. A couple years back, they've been over population or over objective in a lot of the units across Montana. Now they are getting elk into that objective range, so target populations. Most of them are at objective right now. Now, what that means is that the Game and Fish Department has recognized what the carrying capacity is for different units, and they're meeting those carrying capacities with an appropriate amount of elk, which goes to basically long-term sustainability, because if there's too many elk, then you get into issues with disease, you get into issues with landowner degradation, hurting like crop fields, all kinds of different things. When you have animals at objective, it's the biologists are saying this is what's right for this area and meeting those conditions so that it's a sustainable across a long period of time. So that's a good thing. I know it's fun to kind of hunt units that are over objective because you think you're going to see more elk. And while that might be true, it might not be the best thing for the long-term sustainability of the elk herd. So a lot of units now are at objective, which is good. So when we look at applying for elk in Montana, there's kind of three different ranges. You got your 0 point bucket. You're at 0 points right now. What can you expect in Montana? Well, you can definitely get the general tag. There's a chance to draw the general tag with 0 points. You could buy your preference point and apply with a little bit lower odds, but then you're really setting yourself up for a guaranteed tag the year after. And that gives you a lot of opportunity in Montana. Whether you're an archery hunter or a rifle hunter, there are a lot of quality hunts in Montana with the general tag. Once you start getting into that 3 to 8 point range of bonus points, you can start to look at some of these limited entry tags, especially some of the archery-only units, and you're going to see some higher quality, some lower pressure. Some of them are challenging units to hunt, like the breaks, just because there's not black timber to do a lot of the traditional elk archery hunting styles with calling. But you're starting to get there. You're not quite hitting the top-tier units, especially not for rifle, for non-residents. But once you get to that 10-plus point bracket, now you're really starting to open up the entire state to yourself, and you can see you're probably within swinging distance of a lot of the top-tier units across the state for both archery and rifle. So that's kind of some things to think about. If you're in some of those mid- or top-point brackets, like I'm starting to get into that like 6, 7, 8 point range, you can start to look at where you're going to want to spend those points and start to plan out your hunts and start to pick some better units, which is really exciting. Now, let's switch gears. Let's head over to the mule deer. So the mule deer breakdown, everything's virtually the same in terms of drawing 5 point or 5-person parties rounded to the nearest whole number, April 1st again. Tag prices quite high as well, $724 for the deer. Or you could do the big game combo and get both for $1,242. Resident is $16, so almost 50 to 1. I think that's like 45 to 1. So it's a bummer. It really is, all of us non-residents, but that's just what we have to do. The regions, when we talk about the regions for elk being dominated in harvest by region three, for the mule deer, it's much more evenly distributed across the state, with a lot of them coming from the eastern half of Montana. Right now, the western half of Montana is seeing some declining populations of mule deer, and so some units have been decided to close down the mule deer season in mid-November to help save some of those populations and bring them back up to objective. So kind of an interesting scene with the mule deer. I've done some mule deer hunting in Montana. Very tricky. Can be kind of tricky. There's a lot of good potential, but it's not a slam dunk by any means. There is a fair amount of pressure, but the one good thing about Montana, if there is a good thing, lots of solid quality. If you're looking for an absolute monster mule deer, like a 200-inch mule deer, might be very hard to find, especially on public as a non-resident. But average quality. Over 50% of the bucks harvested since 2010 have been a 4-point or greater buck, which is super high. Almost every unit across Montana has the potential for a 150-inch mule deer, which to me is a giant mule deer. I'm a whitetail guy. I'm from the Midwest. I don't have all fall to spend on mule deer. If I get an opportunity at a 150-inch 4x4 mule deer, I am taking that. I am punching that tag and bringing that animal home to me because that is special. Maybe one day I'll start to get to a point where I'm looking for something different, but a 150-inch buck is pretty big. And if you do want to kind of chase the numbers and find some of the bigger bucks, that tend to be on private, so you're probably going to need to start asking for permission. But there are some in the break LE units or limited entry units around the breaks, and some of them in the western side of the state in the limited entry units will still produce some giants up to 170, 180. I think that even a couple of the units have 190-inch trophy potential. So some really strong mule deer as well in Montana. And so what you can expect for different point levels. If you're at 0 point, just like the elk, you're looking at the general tag. You're looking at a lot of units that have maybe different amounts of pressure. It's a general unit, but generally you're going to find 140, 150-inch potential. Now, that is solid, especially for not having to build any points. If you're in the 3 to 8 point range, you're starting to get some units that have a little bit less pressure, a little bit higher trophy potential, but you're still not quite at those top tier units, especially for rifle or non-resident rifle specifically, until you start getting to that 10 plus point bracket again, just like the elk. Now you're really hitting the top tier units that you're finding in the filtering 2.0 tool. And so that's where I would start. If you're starting to approach that, like myself, I'm getting up there for mule deer as well. I'm going to start looking at some of these limited entry units, and I'm going to start looking at the year, and I'm going to start looking at the calendar, because I don't want to stack like two or three or four. I mean, I'd love to, but just realistically for my life, work-life balance, family time, all these things into consideration, I don't want to draw a top-tier limited entry elk tag on the same year I draw a top-tier limited entry mule deer tag. That's just not realistic for me to be able to do both hunts and do them both 100% or give them the justice they deserve and the effort and the time they deserve. And so I'm going to start planning these bigger hunts out. You know, maybe next year we do we swing for a limited entry mule deer. Maybe the year after that we do the big limited entry elk. I want to start staggering these so I'm having good experiences every year rather than loading up on 1 year, burning all my vacation for the year, and then not being at home at all with the family. So things to think about as you're starting to get up here. I think having a lot of points is great until you start figuring out how you're going to spend them and you got these conflicts. Should I go do Colorado mule deer with my 10 points, or should I do Montana mule deer? Should I do elk, or should I do it? It's almost a burden. It really almost is a burden. You have to have it, because if you want to keep hunting better and better units, you have to play the points game. But having a lot of points can be a burden. So think about that as you're building points in all these states. How are you going to spend them? If you don't have a plan to spend the points, why are you building the points? These are the questions you got to ask yourself. I encourage everyone to buy points, especially Montana, Colorado, Wyoming for elk and deer. Antelope too for most of those states, but just have a plan. Don't be buying points without any intention to use them or any idea what you want out of those points someday. So that's my 2 cents, or my $2, if you will, as a joke with the other parody with the other podcast we produce. But that's the Montana deer and elk overview. Little tidbit about hunt planner, little tidbit about the Washington multi-species, but a bulk of the time was the Montana deer and elk application. Don't forget, April 1st, get your applications in. I hope you guys draw tags. And once again, if you have any questions, feel free to DM me, send me an email. We got everything in the show notes. Reach out with your questions. I'd be happy to answer them. If they are not suitable questions for going over on the podcast, I'll still answer them. If it's a good question to cover on the podcast, obviously I'll do that in a future episode as well. But thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Go Hunt Bonus Series Western Rookie Podcast. Hope you all have a great day.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.